Let's have a little Bible study on the subject of the church. What it is, who the people are who compose it, and so on. I hope that you want to be a real student. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, there is a great deal of confusion on the subject. I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. I'm just going to try to give you what I see in the Word of God. I'd like to tell you, first of all, that I do not believe that the church was in existence before the day of Pentecost. I know that the book of Acts talks about the church in the wilderness, but there he's using the common word for a congregation, a called-out company. He's not referring to the church. But the Lord Jesus himself said, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail upon it, against it." Now, he had not yet built his church because he put it in the future. He said, "I will." On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came down, and we're told in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, "By one Spirit are we all baptized into one body." So without the presence of the Holy Spirit indwelling believers, you could hardly have the church in the New Testament sense of the word. Now we're told in Ephesians chapter 1, and at the close of the chapter, that he has given the Lord Jesus to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. This agrees with the passage I just quoted from 1 Corinthians 12, where he says that we are members of his body as well as members one of another. And he tells us there that God hath placed them in the body as it hath pleased him. So if you have a place in the body called the church, you did not get that place by any act of yours or any act of a minister. God hath placed them in the body as it hath pleased him. Membership in the body of Christ. Now some call this the universal church, some call it the invisible church, some call it the mystical body, whatever you call it. I'm thinking now of all true believers from the day of Pentecost on down until the Lord Jesus comes back again. And if you have membership in that body, you receive that by birth, by the new birth. As many as received him, Christ, to them gave he power to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name. Please don't substitute burial for birth. I believe in baptism. It has its place. I believe in baptism as a burial for those who have been born of God and who have died to this world. But you certainly could not be born by burial. When he says born of water and of the Spirit, he's talking about the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Now, membership in the body of Christ, then, is not something which you can acquire upon your decision to join a certain group or a certain body. I'm not now talking about membership in a local company of believers, the local church or assembly. I'm talking about belonging to Christ as a member of his body. Again in Ephesians chapter 3, Paul tells us, "For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. And this mystery," he says, "was in other ages not made known unto the sons of men," verse 5, "as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that," and here's that mystery, "that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel." Now God is doing something in this age which he never did before. He is gathering up into one body both Jews and Gentiles who receive his Son as their Savior. before the cross and before Pentecost, our Lord Jesus dealt with Israel as a nation. And if any Gentiles wanted to come into his blessing, they had to come in as proselytes, that is, uniting themselves with that nation. Now, God is doing a new thing. For a little while, the Jews have been put on the shelf. That's why you find them in their pitiful condition today. And we who are Christians ought to pray for them. Never do anything to hurt their feelings. Never do anything to degrade them or dishonor them. Pray for them. They're God's earthly people. And God is yet going to take them up. There's a wonderful future ahead for Israel. But for the present, they are on the shelf. And God is doing a new thing in this dispensation. He is taking out of both Jews and Gentiles a people for his name's sake. Now these are called a heavenly people in contrast to Israel, the earthly people of God. So, of course, the blessings are spiritual and the methods that they're to use are spiritual. 2 Corinthians 10 tells us that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We should not do things in the same way that the nation of Israel did them. We're on an entirely different footing. The reason for the church, we're told, is that we might be a people for his name's sake, for his pleasure. And another figure of the church is the bride of Christ. A great deal is said about this in Ephesians chapter 5. We're not only the body of Christ in the sense that we're united to him, but we're the bride of Christ in the sense that we're his companions, and we're going to share with him the blessings that are rightfully his and which he wants to share with us. There's a wonderful future ahead for the church. Christ, as the head of the church, is coming back to get us and to take us home to be with himself, and then is going to take place the marriage supper of the Lamb. We're going to be presented to himself without spot or wrinkle, and we're going to reign eternally with him as his bride. Now, this is true of all believers. Whatever denomination or church or local company of believers they may be associated with, unless you are associated with this one true church, you haven't seen, not a thing. You may have missed it completely. So I'd like to ask you, love to your soul, make sure that you have been born into the family of God, that you have been brought into the body of Christ. But now in trying things which differ, in understanding, rightly dividing the word of truth, we have to recognize that a great deal is said in the New Testament about the local church. In fact, all of the advice instructions that are given to the local church. The church order that we have in the epistles, and especially in 1 Corinthians, is said directly to the local church. Now, each individual company of believers, and in the New Testament times, you will notice that there was only one company in each city. I don't mean they all met in the same house, but they were all regarded as belonging to the one group. The Lord hates division. And he says in 1 Corinthians 3 that this is just plain carnality. When anybody says, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ, dividing up the people of God, he says that's carnality. But now he tells us that as a group of Christians, we, as a local group, should be a little expression of the whole body of Christ. In other words, we should also regard Christ as our only head. There's no such thing in the New Testament as an organization with headquarters in New York or some other place. But each individual assembly was autonomous, not independent, but autonomous, dependent upon the head, led by the Spirit of God, having fellowship with other believers, but meeting in his name alone. Now, the group which is sponsoring this program in your area is such a group seeking to meet in the name of the Lord Jesus alone. There are many privileges in the local church, and one of these is worship. This has been greatly neglected, but the Lord's Supper is really intended to be the central meeting of the church. And I believe, according to Acts 20:7, that it should be celebrated every first day of the week. We should have fellowship together in God's things. We should teach one another. There should be pastoral care, not by hiring a man to do it, but by the gift which God has given, men whom God has called to feed the flock of God and to help them. And then, locally, we have some responsibilities. We ought to share in the work. In that section from which I quoted, 1 Corinthians 12, going on through the 14th chapter, you find that each one has been given some individual gift and responsibility. Now, it's your place, your business, to find your place in the local company of believers and see what God has given you a gift to do and exercise that gift as unto the Lord. Then there ought to be subjection to those who are elders in discipline, and each of us should have a share in finances, paying the expenses of the work of the Lord. I think it's a disgrace to beg this from the unconverted. I don't even like to see a public collection. I like to see that done at the Lord's Supper, when only the family is there, because the finances of the church, the local company of believers, the local assembly, should be carried on by the people themselves. Now, at the best, we're just a poor, weak bunch. And I know that some of you who are listening may be despising everything that has to do with the church. But you remember that this is God's plan for this present age, and God is working through His people. And if you have not been saved, you need the same Savior that we have trusted. Well, let's turn to Him in prayer. Our blessed Lord, we thank Thee for suffering and dying on the cross for us, rising again to be our head in the church. We thank Thee for a place with Thyself here and a place with Thyself in that coming happy day. We pray for Thy blessing on those who have heard Thy word just now. In the name that is above every name, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.